The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
You in the hole 6010. Focus. Fantasy.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the DFS CSS Fantasy Focus Podcast. I am, as usual, Mike Clay sitting here, but Kyle Soppy is with me. If you're watching on video, it probably looks a little odd here as we're preparing for week 16. Look, it's not like we have people just out, like the Quinn on the team that left, we have some late season injuries, some illnesses here, Kyle.
Really just struggling with the depth of the season. Do we need to think of a new name of the podcast? We can't be DFS with CSS unless we have a new acronym or new.
Yeah, well, it's just us two here. So we're just CS, right? The S can stay, right? The S can stay. Daniel Dopp out with an illness today. So he was questionable yesterday, ruled out this morning. And then Al Smizzl, this was a surprise. He came in sick today. He was a last minute. He was a full go. He was not even on the injury report. He is out.
Was not listed. Is in LA. You would think everything is good in the life of Smith, and he can't make it to a Thursday podcast.
But anyway, we're going to hold down the fort here. We still have our picks. We have my value plays as usual. Sure. We have Smith's value plays. We're going to talk through those. And of course, we have the other guys we like that Daniel usually talks about. We also have Daniel's lineup. We have my lineup. Do you have a lineup? You going to throw a lineup out there?
I got a lineup.
You got a lineup? All right, we got it all. So we're gonna get it rolling here. We're going to work through these guys, get everyone ready to go for week 16 daily fantasy, of course, over at DraftKings. And remember, we have a contest going on at DraftKings right now. It is free. You can join up. We will link to it after the podcast once it's out there. The link is out there. It is there's unlimited participants, so sign up, join. It's free to enter. There are $200 in weekly prizes. As mentioned, we'll drop our lineups later on in this podcast. We'll tell you who we're going to fire up. You can join. You could try to beat us and win some free cash. So with that said, Daniel.
Jeez.
See, I'm not even.
I mean, I look just like him.
Yeah, that's it.
All the tattoos, the
that's
beard.
It. You got a little hair there.
Like 3-4 weeks of growth. Yeah. I've been trying to catch up. I've been waiting for this moment.
See, I haven't even adjusted yet. It's like when the quarterback gets new receivers and he's off target a little bit. Like it's not Calvin Ridley now, it's Christian Blake, and he's just off a little bit. I have to adjust too.
Right. So you're gonna get. I think you'll get there by the end.
We've seen Carson Wentz in the second half of games with his new receivers kind of adjust. So. Maybe you're Greg Ward. Maybe it just takes some time.
I mean, he only had one receiver have a catch last week, but, I mean, you only have one co-host, so that could work.
That's true. And Greg Ward started slow, and he got rolling. But anyway, it's on me. We'll get it right now. So let's start this off with the quarterback position. A couple guys I like here. The first one is a guy we've talked about a lot this season, Matt Ryan. 6,200, Kyle, going up against Jacksonville. Hard not to like this value, especially with this Jags defense really struggling. So sixth highest priced quarterback on the board right now, has 2+ passing touchdowns in 9 of his 13 games, including 3 straight. Also 300+ passing yards in 9 of his 13 games this season. You love that hit rate. Remember, you get that 3-point bonus for 300. So he's been terrific in that department. Also, this is kind of a surprise, over 20 rushing yards 2 of his past 3 games. Can we count on that?
I think there might be some regression there. But I mean, Matt Ryan, top 10 quarterback each of the past 2 weeks. And like you said, this Jacksonville defense, it's just not what you're getting when you think of Jacksonville. You think vaunted. You think Jags. Like, we need to get over that perception. Like, the Falcons are going to score. Ryan's going to be a part of it. Another top 10 play. You said price 6th. Feels like a bargain to me.
Yeah, and a lot of turmoil in Jackson right now.
Yeah,
we'll see how that team responds. Tom Coughlin was fired. A lot of, a confrontation, if you will, between the players and the organization. It's been a mess right there. So you can read up on that. Obviously, we won't get into that here, but a lot going on there in Jacksonville. Nonetheless, as you mentioned, the Jags defense has faced the 4th fewest pass attempts this season, but they've allowed 25 passing touchdowns and the 11th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Actually, it's 25 total touchdowns, and they're allowing just under 8 yards per attempt. That is 7th highest. So the efficiency has not been there. They're trending the wrong way. Love Matt Ryan here. Number 2 on my list this week is Dak Prescott in terms of value. $6,400 playing at Philadelphia. He's the 5th highest priced quarterback. I'm a little nervous about the fact that as of yesterday, he can't lift his arm above his head.
That's a bad thing. But he's more likely to get the 20 rushing yards than Matt Ryan, maybe.
This is true.
But yeah, if you can't lift your shoulder, like, who would you downgrade more, Cooper or Gallup, if he's going to be compromised?
Man, of the receivers?
Yeah, would you be less likely to stack him with?
Well, less likely. I mean, you certainly want to stack him with Cooper.
Sure.
It depends on the pricing and how your lineup fills out. I think they're both options. If Prescott can go, just because the Eagles' perimeter pass defense is terrible.
Zero.
So,
You're an Eagles fan. I trust you on that.
Yeah, so they have. It's certainly a good matchup. But nonetheless, we're going to keep an eye on that throughout the week. Now, I wrote this before that kind of news broke, but if he's a full go, we're going to fire him up. And why? Well, he's been really good. He's already matched a career high in total touchdowns with 29. He has 2+ passing touchdowns in 9 of 14 games. He's hit the 300 pass yard mark in 6 games. And Kyle, in those 6 games where he's reached 300, his average passing yardage total, it's not like 310. It's not like he's just
not
getting
just
over.
Skating by, no.
It's 399.7. If he throws for a lot of yards, he throws for a lot of yards, right around 400 per game. Also top 9 in carries, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns among quarterbacks. You're right. You know, Matt Ryan, he's giving you that bonus to some rushing yards, but Dak actually can deliver in that department consistently. He hasn't actually the past couple of weeks, but we know it's in his arsenal. By the way, the Eagles defense, though they're terrible against perimeter receivers, actually mid-pack against quarterbacks overall. They face the 5th highest average depth of throw at 8.8. That's led to a 61% completion percentage. That's actually 4th lowest, but they've allowed 24 passing touchdowns. That is 11. So again, kind of a neutral matchup. It is on the road. He's a little beat up. So I'm going to monitor this one, but those reasons that I just laid out could have people jumping off of him. So maybe actually he ends up becoming a better value in tournaments. But again, I wrote this a couple days ago. We got new information. We're going to keep an eye on this the next few days.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you said he's the 5th price quarterback on the slate. He's quarterback 4 for the year. So that alone feels like a bargain with 3 Saturday games. You got the primetime games and it's an important game. Like how many games mean more to their teams this week than that one? Probably none, right?
No question about it. Basically, a playoff game. The winner is going to be the favorite to go to the playoffs and win that division. The Eagles, if they win, could still lose next week to the Giants, which, trust me, is very much a possibility. They had to come back against, lost to the Dolphins, had to come back against the Giants, Redskins. It's possible. But anyway, that's me, the Eagles fan, talking. Anyway, so that's those are my top 2 quarterbacks. Kyle, the guy our friend Al Smizzle, who again, not with us, ill today, likes, is Russell Wilson. He is 7,000, so he's a little bit more expensive than the guys we just talked about, but he's at home against Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 5 top 5 finishes this year, but if I know Smiz at all, he just likes Russell Wilson because you know you can pencil in at least 1, maybe 2 touchdowns at a tight end. Mm-hmm. Like, that's your high floor. He's got the rushing ability. Tyler Lockett, we saw him finally come on last week. I like Wilson. I think I like him. But do I like him that much more than Ryan or Prescott? Like, he's going for 8,000 or 800 more than Matt Ryan. Feels like a lot to me, although I do like the floor that Wilson provides.
Yeah, not too bad of a price, but, you know, he hasn't been quite as dominant the past month or two as he was earlier in the season and at times throughout his career. So that's Wilson. The other value plays we like this week, if you want to punt the position.
I think you're nuts.
It's Will Greer.
I think you're crazy.
His NFL debut, I mean, that's tough. That would be a tough one to swallow.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you'd have to essentially, I think you would have to start Christian McCaffrey too, and just hope that he dumps it off to him 20 times, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is a bet on the weapons, right? More than Greer himself. We don't know much of what he can do at the NFL level. So I'm in a cash game. No, thanks. If you want to go GPP, you want to get cute and load up all your salary elsewhere, I'll listen to you, but it's not for me.
Yeah. On the other hand, he is only 4,300, so you don't need much from
he's
him.
Basically,
right?
He throws a touchdown. Mid-level running back at that price.
Yeah. Right. Right. And we don't expect him to run a lot, so he might not give you much value that way. It's definitely a risky play. The other one is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum here. Lamar Jackson at 8,000 at Cleveland. Look, obviously Lamar Jackson's a star. If you start him, you have a high expectation for points, but he actually comes in at a decent value this week at this price versus what you expect to get from him. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm buying it. 8,000, you only need 24 points to really quote-unquote pay off your value. You look for 3 times in cash games. And over the last 2.5 months, he's failed to get to 24 points just once. In fact, he's failed to get over 26 just once. So, I mean, he's basically Christian McCaffrey in a quarterback's body. Like, there is no price right now that I would be comfortable fading Lamar.
Yeah, it's interesting. We kind of have seen a guy develop like that, the Christian McCaffrey of each position except for tight end, right? I mean, you have Lamar at quarterback,
sure,
of course. You McCaffrey is McCaffrey of running backs. And you have Michael Thomas at receiver,
oh,
who's so far ahead of everyone
so
else.
Far.
Right, so that's 3. I mean, a tight end, I don't think one guy is really emerged.
I mean, you could argue Kelsey is, but yeah, no,
but
it's
you have
not
Kittle,
dominant
you have other
level.
Guys.
Yeah, it's not that dominant level.
Yeah, no question about it. Although there is a major value at the tight end position this week we will get to a little bit later.
Teaser.
Yeah, that is a teaser indeed. So stay with us here on the show. Let's move on to running backs here, Kyle. And we're going to start out with a guy who we talked about a couple weeks ago as a value play. He hit for us. Last week, he had a tough matchup and did not deliver. We didn't talk about him, of course. But I have high expectations for another big day here for Devonta Freeman, another Falcon. We just talked about Matt Ryan. How about we keep beating up on this Jags defense? He comes in at $6,000. He is the 17th highest priced running back this week. Now, he did have a rough game last week, as mentioned, against San Francisco. But the good news is he played 77% of the snaps. He handled 77% of the carries. He is still their clear feature back. Again, good matchup 2 weeks ago. What did he put up in that game when we liked him? 94 yards, a touchdown on 21 touches. I thought this was interesting. Here are his touch totals by game this season.
Hit me.
11, 14, that's early in the season, so nothing great there. But how about this? 19, 20, 16, 22, 9, 21, 13, 21, 21, 14. That's 16.8 per game. Pretty good. I mean, he's getting the rock. And that'll volume.
Yeah, that'll get it done at $6,000. And that, I mean, you're talking about a running back that since he returned, getting over two-thirds of the touches and or over the carries in Atlanta's backfield. He has multiple catches in every game this season.
He does. In fact, he's missed two games, but he's ninth at running back with 48 receptions.
Yeah, that'll work.
That number surprised me, honestly.
That's a nice floor.
That is a very nice floor. And we mentioned the matchup. It's even better than it is for Matt Ryan. Second most fantasy points allowed to running backs have the Jags allowed this season. The third most rushing yards, second most rushing touchdowns with 14. 5.3 yards per carry is second worst. Also allowing 7.6 yards per target to running backs. That is fourth worst. So in total, second most scrimmage yards, third most touchdowns total with 17. And by the way, they're even worse lately. Like, that's bad.
It's trending
a lot
of it
has come lately, right? 37 fantasy points per game allowed over the past six games.
You're going to say he gets the 100-yard bonus for the first time this year?
I think he has a shot at it in this matchup. The Falcons are playing better.
Yeah, I'll take it. They're not really peaking at the right time for a team that's not going anywhere, but I think, and then we just touch on all the Falcons as long as we're at it. Julio's a fine play. Like, if you want to stack Ryan with Julio, fine.
Yeah, what Julio and George Kittle, like 50% target shares last week.
Oh, my God,
unbelievable.
Yeah, 51. And that speaks to the value of Ryan. Like, if Ridley's out and nobody else is going to absorb those targets besides more Julio, like, that could actually help Ryan's value. You throw Julio the ball more often than not, you're going to be an okay play.
Yeah, no doubt. And in tournaments, you might want to even keep an eye on like a Christian Blake or a Russell Gage too, in that offense playing Jacksonville. They didn't do anything last week, but they played a lot. So keep an eye on them. But again, sticking with running backs here, the other guy is Joe Mixon, who is one of the, we'll say, hottest running backs in the league over the past month. I use that term loosely, but you know what I mean. He has been tearing it up. 6,600 at Miami. I'm told they're bad.
Very bad defense.
Mixon, the 11th highest priced running back. 156 yards on 28 touches and 186 yards on 26 touches over the past 2 weeks for Joe Mixon. Talk about volume and performance. He has delivered 16-plus touches in seven straight games, averaging 23.4 per game during that stretch. He is fantasy's number six running back since week eight after that rough start to the season. And then, of course, we'll quantify the Dolphins' defense. Fifth most fantasy points to running backs, most rushes and rushing yards allowed this season, sixth or worst in rushing touchdowns, touches, scrimmage yards, scrimmage touchdowns allowed. They're bad in volume. They're bad in efficiency. Mixon is getting both of those things, volume, and he's been efficient. A lot to like here.
Yeah, at least 16 touches in seven straight games. And you're looking, I mean, you think about the Bengals, how often do you have a positive game script for a running back? The answer would be never. A team with one win. But they're playing against the Dolphins. They could actually load up on Mixon and be justified in doing it. Like, they've been giving him the ball just to run out these games. But now if it actually makes sense to give him the ball, I don't see how you construct a lineup without Mixon in it.
No question. They have built this offense around Joe Mixon, and it has paid off in fantasy. So Freeman and Mixon are the top values. Smizzle likes DeAndre Washington. No surprise here. Only 4,000 at the Chargers. If you're wondering why we're talking about a backup Raiders running back here, Josh Jacobs was ruled out yesterday. Kind of flew under the radar a little bit, but he is out again with that shoulder injury. In steps DeAndre Washington and, of course, Jalen Richard as the lead backs here for the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, Washington had 20 touches and a touchdown in Week 14 without Jacobs active. You have to assume he walks into a similar role. Like, maybe it's not complete domination of Richard like it was in Week 14, but at $4,000, it doesn't really need to be. If he gets anywhere near a full workload, he's in a great spot to provide value at 4,000 in Los Angeles against the Chargers. I'll take my chances with Washington.
No question about it. He actually ran more routes than Jalen Richard and had more targets than Jalen Richard. That was a surprise to me, but it's a good sign. Chargers defense, very good, but Washington is certainly at 4,000, a viable play. He should be able to get
DraftKings wasn't counting on Jacobs being out.
Like, no question.
It seems that out.
No question. And it's almost surprising because he was just out. You thought the price would be up. But anyway, Washington, I love that as a running back option. Some other value plays here, Kyle. Patrick Laird, only 4,600 handle. He's better than Kalen Blash, and he's getting that volume in the Dolphins' backfield. Philip Lindsay, we love him every week, 5,300. Boston Scott at $4,000. Jordan Howard, very unlikely to play. If Howard shockingly does play, we're going to move Scott down. But for now, at $4,000, the volume he's gotten, the passing down work, Nelson Aguilar's not supposed to play. He should be heavily involved in that passing game. Love that price. And Marlon Mack at $6,200. He gets his Carolina defense, Kyle.
Yeah, as bad as the Panthers, or as bad as the Jags have been, the Panthers have been right there as far as one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. 8 times this season, a running back's rushed for over 80 yards and a touchdown against the Panthers. That includes 4 times in 3 games this month, Mike. 4 times, 3 games. That means you're getting more than one running back doing that per game. That's a problem. Marlon Mack, yes, he struggled over the last 2 weeks since coming back, but those have been brutal matchups. This, not a brutal matchup. Marlon Mack, good at football. Plug him in. Play him, $6,200, money in the bank.
Yeah, and it's been kind of an underwhelming season for Marlon Mack, but maybe you're a fan of the Colts. Maybe you have a Marlon Mack jersey.
Oh, sure.
And maybe you want to pull it out. Maybe you want to wear it to
the
game.
Good week for it, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you want to go to this game this weekend. Do you know any places where you might want to get tickets to go see the game?
I do not, but I know you're better at finding that kind of thing than I am.
I am. I'm going to go over to SeatGeek. That's where I'm going. Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
Darn near impossible.
I know, right? It's as if they're so big, they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web, then rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. And every purchase is fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use the promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase. All right, Kyle, let's move on to the wide receiver position here. And we talked about this guy earlier, briefly. He's the Christian McCaffrey or the Lamar Jackson of the wide receiver position. He has been cash money this season. Michael Thomas, $9,300. He's going to cost you. He's the highest priced wide receiver, no shock. But he's at Tennessee this weekend. The way he has performed, I think he's still a great value. 19-plus fantasy points in 11 of his 14 games, 25-plus. In 6 of his past 7, at least 100 yards in 7 of 8 games. Again, you get the $100 bonus for wide receivers. 8 touchdowns. He has 1 in 4 of his past 5 games. So he's actually been better in that department lately. Fantasy's #1 wide receiver this season, Kyle, by almost 60 points. He was #1. I was looking at this stuff actually during Monday Night Football when he was playing. He was #1 in targets, receptions, receiving yards, even before that game started on Monday night.
He's unreal.
He is unreal. And then the matchup quickly here, the Titans defense, slightly below average against wide receivers, 9th worst yards per target and catch rate allowed. They were absolutely, absolutely destroyed by Houston last week. We saw that. So I think it actually is a slightly above average matchup, especially if Adoree Jackson is not back in the lineup. Love the Thomas play this week.
Yeah, he's completely matchup proof at this point. I mean, in a PPR setting, the volume alone gets him there, and then with that volume comes the temptation to go over the yardage bonus. Is there a more accurate Twitter handle on the face of the internet than Can't Guard Mike?
No.
I'm trying to think of it. Mike Clay NFL is pretty close.
That's pretty
close. Like, that's accurate, but you were giving me baseball stats from like 2004 at bowling the other week. So like, I don't think your Twitter handle is quite as accurate. Mike is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, that's good. No one can guard that guy. He has been fantastic this season. In fact, I did a draft and an auction in Canton in the offseason.
Okay.
I did a good job. I had very competitive teams all season long. Had Thomas as the guy I spent up for in the auction. The guy I picked in the first round of those of the draft, and I am still not over the fact that they got knocked out of the playoffs. I just ran into the buzzsaw in the first round of the playoffs. Still hurting because those teams were good, and Thomas was the anchor that would have carried me. So anyway, that was just an aside. Let's keep going with our wide receivers here. The next guy on my board that I like a lot here, Kyle, is Courtland Sutton. $6,200 against Daniel Dopp's Detroit Lions. He is the 14th highest priced wide receiver here. And look, Sutton has been outstanding during this breakout second season. 4 catches, 79 yards, no touchdowns on 10 targets last week, in what was a very tough matchup against the Chiefs. Believe it or not, the Chiefs have allowed the fewest receptions to wide receivers this season. Yeah, it's hard to believe.
They shut down the perimeter. Like, it's just they what they do. Yeah, I mean, so I'm not that worried about Sutton's inefficient performance. I mean, 79 yards, he still got there. I mean, four catches isn't great, but the volume has just been there.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Lock, Flacco, whoever they're putting at quarterback, they're throwing the ball to Sutton, and they're throwing it to him often. I like it.
No question. I know they dud in Week 14 against Houston, but had 4 for 74 and 2 touchdowns in Drew Lock's debut in Week 13. So we've seen him put together 2 good games so far during the Drew Lock experience. And again, one of them was a very tough matchup last week. We like this one a lot better. 7+ targets in 12 of his 14 games. You like that high floor. He's played 93% of the snaps. He's handling a 27% target share. So you know the volume is there. And then the matchup. Lions defense, 2nd most fantasy points to wide receivers. 79% of wide receiver units have beat their season average when facing Detroit this season. That is highest in the NFL. They are 5th or worse in routes faced, targets against, receptions allowed, receiving yards. They've allowed 17 touchdowns to receivers, 31 end zone targets. They've allowed an NFL high, actually they allowed an NFL high 71 fantasy points to wide receivers just last week. So they're not exactly trending the right direction here.
No, they're terrible. All respect to Daniel. This team peaked in like September. Like
yes, they did.
Checked out. The Broncos, they're not that they're playing for anything more, but Drew Lock's looked okay. He's trying to get the reps in. I trust him to feed Sutton with enough volume to get to $6,200 worth of value. Mm-hmm. I'll take my chances. And I think he scores. I think a lot of Broncos score. The Lions give up a lot of points.
Yes, I like the Broncos defense this week.
Sure.
They're certainly a DFS play. And I like Drew Lock actually in a league where we start 2 quarterbacks. It's the last week, so okay. You don't need to keep, you know, a third quarterback. Nah. I drop Brady, and I'm holding Lock. I'm going to fire up Lock in that one. So
world
Brady, of course,
in.
Playing Buffalo.
What right. A world. But I agree with you.
Yeah, fantasy football for you right there. All right, Al Smizzle likes Chris Conley, 4,300 at the Falcons. Now, of course, he's out with the illness, so we can't ask him if he likes him even with DJ Chark. I would find this one to be very risky if he's out. Now, I know Desmond Trufant's out, but the Falcons have really cracked down defensively over the past month or so. So if DJ Chark is out, I agree with this, but Chark is back practicing. If he plays, I'm not as confident in this one at 4,300.
I agree with you. If Chark is in, maybe you move off some roster ship and he's not on as many rosters and it's a GPP kind of thing. I mean, he's top 10 in air yards per target this year among mm-hmm. qualified receivers. So I get it there. If Chark is out, then you probably funnel enough targets his way to pay off the 4,300, but I agree with you. If Chark's in, this feels like a thin play at best.
All right. Some other guys we like. Christian Kirk, 5,600. You know, Larry Fitzgerald's actually a decent value here. He's had a very low ceiling, and that scares me a lot, but his price has dropped so low that I think either one of those Cardinals wide receivers are options in Seattle, a game where we expect Arizona to have to throw the ball a lot. Curtis Samuel, 4,500, almost always a value play. Again, a little risky with the quarterback change, but
yeah.
Not too pricey. Greg Ward, 4,200. We talked about him. He's the number one receiver for the Eagles, and he has been pretty good the past couple of weeks. Vincent Smith, that's an interesting punt right there. For the Jets, only 3,000. They're at home in this game. It's a tough matchup, but at 3,000, he's going to play almost every down, you know, probably 70 to 80% of the snaps, actually, I would say. And he's been pretty good. They're trying to incorporate him in the offense. They like him. So Demaryius Thomas, unlikely to play. Smith steps in. So an interesting punt there. Alex Erickson, also interesting. Kyle, only 3,300 at Miami. Good matchup. And I mean, AJ Green's not coming back. Alden Tate's gone. John Ross has played behind Erickson. There's some value here.
It's all value there. I mean, nobody's expecting Erickson to go 8 for 100 with a score, but I mean, you're talking Smith at 3,000. I'd much prefer to pay up an extra $300. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3,300, you're still talking nothing. For Alex Erickson, who gets a Dolphins team that's allowed 25 receiver touchdowns this year. 25 receiver. I mean, we're in week 16. Uh-huh. It's almost 2 a game. He gets one of them, right? I mean, he's seen at least 5 targets in 7 of the last 9 games. I think the volume's enough. I trust Andy Dalton enough. I don't trust Andy Dalton. I fear putting that sentence out into the ether, but I trust him enough to get Alex Erickson $3,300 worth of value in this one.
Yeah, we give some of these below average quarterbacks a hard time sometimes, and like Eli Manning, we picked on for years now, but the man got the ball to OBJ.
He can do enough, yeah.
He got the ball to OBJ, and Dalton got the ball to AJ Green for all those years, and last season to Tyler Boyd. Like, just get the ball, get the rock to the top guy. That was the case with Lock. I remember tweeting that when Drew Lock was inserted. I was like, just throw the ball to Courtland Sutton.
Throw it to the good guys. It's that simple.
That's it. Just throw him the ball 10 times a game. That's all we ask from you. It doesn't matter if you're super efficient. Just get it to those guys.
Exactly.
All right. So those are our wide receivers. Let's move on to the tight end position, and we teased this one earlier. maybe the best value, one of the best values, I think, in DFS this season. This one really
this
jumps
season.
Out.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Austin Hooper is 4,400 against Jacksonville. Now, he's a tight end 8, which doesn't sound like a great value, but keep in mind that the slate is small this week. There are 3 Saturday games, right? There's still a Sunday and a Monday game. So we're missing a huge, we're essentially missing two more games than we normally would. So it's like a busy bye week is what we're dealing with this slate. So tight end 8 in this slate for Hooper is crazy low. He's had 2 duds since his return from injury, but he didn't play a lot in the first game back. And then last week we saw his snaps increase to 80%. He has exactly six targets each of his past 2 games. Before the injury, he was a top 14 tight end every week. He was top 8 all but 2 weeks. The guy was delivering the goods. He had actually scored a touchdown in 4 straight games before that injury. He missed 3 games already this season, but he's still no lower than 6 the tight end in routes, targets, receptions, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, fantasy points. Before he got injured, he was by far the number 1 tight end. He was blowing Kelce away and Kittle and all these guys. It was not you, Darren Waller, way ahead of all these guys in fantasy points. If you look at the Jags defense, the matchup here, they've been kind of mid-pack against tight ends overall, but they've allowed 20-plus fantasy points to tight ends each of the past 2 weeks. They face low volume, but bad efficiency there. 7th fewest targets faced, but 7 touchdowns allowed. That's 4th most. 3rd highest yards per reception allowed. 3rd highest yards per target, and the 10th highest catch rate. So, again, they haven't faced a ton of volume to this position, but they have been bad when teams throw it at the tight end. I think Hooper's role should only expand in his 3rd game back. We know he's going to get targets, at least 6 based on the last 2 games. I like this play a lot.
He was $6,000 2 weeks ago when he returned. What has changed?
Two duds.
Yeah, well, it's not Space Jam. Like, he didn't lose his talent. Like, this is crazy to me why he would be so low. To treat Hooper as anything but an elite tight end, it's bananas.
Yeah.
Like, you want Matt Ryan, if you want to get off the roster ship of Julio or somebody like that, and you want to stack him with Hooper, fully endorse that at a very good price. $4,400 for a guy that's going to catch 4 to 8 balls alone. Like, that's his floor.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes 5 for 60, it's a bad game for Austin Hooper.
No doubt. Bananas and Space Jam. I'm with you for sure. Another guy that has a great chance to go bananas this week is the guy facing the Cardinals defense.
This has nothing to do with him.
Yeah, you can just kind of keep this template here, and then it's like versus Arizona at tight end. You just plug in whoever the guy is. So this is easy. Jacob Hollister, only $4,200. So he's even cheaper than Austin Hooper. He's the 9th highest priced tight end. Hollister hasn't cleared 45 yards since week 10, but he's had a target share of at least 18% in 4 of his past 5 games. He's done a lot of short area work, a 5.6 average depth of target, but he is still a fantasy number 10 tight end since week 10. But again, if you get a target share in this 18% range against this Cardinals defense, you like that a lot. And let's quantify that. Most fantasy points allowed to tight ends this season for Arizona. Most receiving yards allowed. Most receiving touchdowns with 15, which is almost unbelievable. 9.1 yards per target, a 74% catch rate. Both of those are highest in terms of what they've allowed to tight ends. 71% of tight end units facing Arizona have outscored their season average. Again, that is highest in the league. And they've actually allowed 15 or more fantasy points in 10 of 14 games to that position. Fewer than 7 only once, which is really interesting. So that shows you that you're not going to get burnt, right? You're not going to have one of them situations where you get 2 points.
Right?
That's not going to happen.
No, I mean, the Cardinals are allowing more tight end points per game than the difference between 2 and, like, defense 20 against tight ends. It's over 4 points more per game than any other defense in the league. You sold me on Jacob Hollister with his role, yada, 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 target share. I get it. Mike, like, you're smart. You give me all those brainiac stats. It's going against the Cardinals. At 4,200, that's all I need. Like, a touchdown alone is going to pay this off.
That's true. Do you just nerd shame me, though?
I mean, we're kind of the same level here.
Yeah, but you were just kind of like, yada, 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 stat. Like, come on, Kyle.
Well,
like,
that's one spot.
That's what Daniel would do.
It is. I'm trying to fill the void, but that's one spot I don't need the stats.
Like, yeah.
It's just the matchup. Is there a dollar amount or a tight end name that you wouldn't play against Arizona? So let's say he's playing 50% of the snaps.
I'll tell you what, the only one that burned us was when they upped the price on Vance McDonald and he was doing nothing.
Yeah,
okay. He got hurt. But
let's say Jacob Hollister was 5,500.
He wouldn't be as good.
No,
a value,
but would you still consider him?
I'd still consider him.
And he's a $4,000 talent.
It's tough because it's all relative, right? Because I'm still going to spend down and use Hooper in that situation.
Of course. Okay.
But nonetheless, he is 4,200. He is a good value. You can definitely fire him up and feel good about it, especially in cash situations.
Read there.
All right. So Smizzle, do we have one for Al Smizzle?
No, but I mean, with his pimping of the Jacob Hollister flow chart situation.
No, he's on Hollister.
I feel good about him being on Hollister and probably being very in on Hollister.
All right. So, yeah, we'll assign that. That makes sense. He's always money in that department. So, that's that. The other value plays here, Kyle, Mike Gesicki, 3,600 against Cincinnati. Zach Ertz, 6,400 against Dallas. And Caden Smith, Evan Ingram's on IR. So it's a Caden Smith show the rest of the way. He's only 3,200, a fine punt there. Any of those three jump out to you?
I like Smith as the value at 3,200, but this is our show. I'm a Penn State person.
Oh, okay, so you're biased.
We're going to go Mike Gesicki. Not biased at all, because Daniel had this on the note before I even saw it, so I'm going to talk him up on Daniel's behalf, you know, with my support, of course. He was $3,600 for Mike Gesicki against the Bengals. I feel like we're picking on this game a lot, and that's probably because we are. Can you name the only tight end in the NFL with at least 5 targets in each of the past 7 weeks?
I'm guessing you're going to tell me it's this guy.
It's probably Mike Gesicki because we're talking about him. But other than that, you wouldn't have been able to guess it.
No, I would not.
I'm going to take 5, 6, 7, 8 targets at $3,600 against one of the worst defenses in football with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is here to help fantasy owners. Like, that's just the way it is. Mike Gesicki, I'm locking him in because you've got price, matchup, quarterback, for almost nothing. What's not to like?
Yeah, absolutely. Fitz has been terrific for fantasy, not just this season, but last season too. He was delivering. Yeah. I mean, Adam Humphreys was fantasy relevant last year.
I wouldn't pick him to win me many NFL games, but to win an NFL title or a fantasy title?
Yep.
He's on the short list.
He has been solid. So that's our position by position rundown. But now we want to run through our lineups for this week. It's that time of the show. So I'll jump right into mine here, Kyle. And then we'll go to, we'll read off Daniels. He's not here. You're going to throw a lineup in as well.
Yeah.
You could, and since we don't have Al, you could pick. You know, we usually have Al pick between my lineup and Daniels lineup. We'll let you do that. Actually, before we do that, let's recap last week. Let's do that first.
Okay,
because we crushed it last week. We got a lot of comments. Everybody watching, listening, you realize, I think people realize because they used a lot of our players.
Yeah, there you go.
That it was one of our better weeks. And we've been in the upper half of 50-50s pretty much every week this season. So we've been solid, but we actually could have helped you in tournaments, I think. I had 189.16. Daniel had 181.36. In fact, he was well ahead of me after the 1 p.m. slate.
I saw you tweet that he was bragging about the league.
He was.
Okay.
He was a little snarky.
That doesn't
me a
sound
hard
like
time.
Him at all.
Yeah, he was giving me a hard time, and then Kenyon Drake happened.
Mm.
And when Kenyon Drake happens, my team wins. And it did by 8. So it was a very good week. Shout out to Tommy B716. He had 235.72.
How in the world he beat your team by like 50 points is beyond me.
I know. That's an unbelievable job. It was a high-scoring week last week in DFS. If you've listened to the show, we've read off the winner and the point total every week. This might have been the highest.
That's always up there.
One of those weeks. So great job, Tommy B716. I moved to 10-5 this week. I have a just under 140 point edge over Daniel for the season. Smith drops to 8-4. He was feeling pretty good about going 9-3 after the early slate. But
he was hot. But do you think that's why he's sick now? Like, he was unable to participate in today's podcast
he's
because he was just really hurting. Yeah, Kenyon Drake just really hurt everybody.
He's embarrassed. He picked against me, and it did not pay off. But anyway, that was last week. This is this week. We still have quite a few weeks to go here. So here's my lineup, Kyle. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. Don't always love spending this much a quarterback, but it's Lamar Jackson.
Gotta spend
I'm good.
Somewhere.
Yeah. It's projected for 28 points there.
Yeesh.
I have Jackson at quarterback, Devonta Freeman, DeAndre Washington, and Boston Scott at running back. I'm going to go with Boston Scott. Again, pushing for that 20% target share in that offense the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I'll take that. Cortland Sutton at wide receiver, Curtis Samuel, Michael Thomas. They fill out that position. Austin Hooper, as mentioned, can't pass on him at tight end. And then actually had enough money to go for a decent defense here. I'm going to go with Denver here for just $3,500. So that's what I got. And I left $100 on the table.
Yeah,
I mean,
two $4,000 running backs kind of free you up. I like the star power you've got here. And being able to spend up on a defense, not always a bad thing. I think it's often a low rostership percentage play because so many people, okay, I can use all this money and then what's left? What change can I find in the couch to put on a defense? But I think you probably get a decent amount of rosters that don't have a good defense like you do here.
All right, there we go. So, all right, I'll read Daniels now. Then you could pick and then give us your lineup, what you would do. So
okay.
He's going Will Grier, right? So I think I know you're already not picking
his
team.
Yeah, no, he lost it there, and not to disclose anything. You can read the rest of his lineup. I get wanting to save here, but I think you are absolutely crazy to go with Will Grier.
Yeah, he is almost half the price of Lamar Jackson, and you don't need a lot. So you really would need to make it up at other positions. But honestly, aside of he gets Christian McCaffrey at running back, he's 10,100, so he kind of spends up there fine, I guess. Philip Lindsay's another running back that he went with, like him. DJ Moore, he's really going with this Panthers offense. This is a risky move. Will Grier, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, that's bold. Cortland Sutton, Terry McLaurin are his wide receivers. Austin Hooper, again, a tight end, love that one. DeAndre Washington, another good value play. So Sutton, Hooper, and Washington are our crossover between our teams, and then he's going with the Jags defense. So that's what he has, and who are you going with?
Yeah,
you got?
Realistically, I'm fine with 7 or 8 of his players, but I think he's going to lose like 30 points at the quarterback position, and I don't think he gets there. I don't think he can overcome this. I love you, Daniel. I hope you get better. I don't think you win this week. I'm siding with Mike Clay to go 11-5 for the season.
All right. Love it. Good call. And that being said, who do you have? And I assume you do not have Will Grier at quarterback.
I do not. You know, it's tempting to go with to get him some more exposure, but I think he's got enough run on this podcast as it is. I've got Philip Rivers. And potentially his last home game.
Interesting.
Against the second worst red zone defense in the NFL in the Oakland Raiders. I've got Devonta Freeman as well. Mark Ingram, I think, lights up the Browns this week. He and Zeke are the only two running backs with at least 3 multi-touchdown games since week 11. I like the ceiling there. Tyler Boyd, we've focused on the Dolphins-Bengals game. I'm going with the number one receiver on the other side there. Cortland Sutton against Daniel's terrible Lions. Mike Williams, I'm stacking with Philip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Think he gets loose for at least one big game, maybe two, and finds the end zone. Like you said, Austin Hooper, I think, is an auto play no matter where you are. And Leonard Fournette, top 20 in receptions and carries. Only him and McCaffrey can claim that this season. A nice floor-ceiling combination for him against the Falcons that we've been targeting all day.
All right. I like that a lot. A very solid. You didn't really punt anywhere, right? So it's pretty even
pretty
across
the
board.
Middle.
I like that, though. It's a really good tournament lineup. So. A cash game lineup.
It's
like
enough
that
to beat Daniel and lose to you.
Yeah.
That's not about right.
I don't know. That's good. I like it a lot, especially with some of them guys like Boyd coming off a bad game. Good chance here with a better matchup for a bounce back opportunity. So again, if you like, maybe you just saw all those lineups and you're like, man, they're terrible. I could beat that.
They sure can.
What are these guys doing? They're supposed to be professionals. They don't know anything. I'm going to beat them. What you do is you check the link we're going to post a little bit later on social media. You join up into the Fantasy Focus group and you join our weekly showdown. Again, it is $0 to enter. It is free, and there are $200 in weekly prizes. My lineup will be there. Daniel's lineup will be there. Kyle, you're going to put yours in there as well, and we'll see how we do. Before we wrap up, Kyle, just a little bit of news. We are 1 week away from the holidays. It's Christmas next week, so we are not going to be here for the show. We will be with our families enjoying our
probably
hams
talking
or
football
turkeys.
With them.
Yeah, what, talking
turkeys.
Football.
Turkeys
I don't know.
Hams,
what do people do?
I don't know.
And we make a ham once in a while. I don't know. Really, it's hard to focus on a meal
I was gonna say,
on
it's
Christmas
not a food
Day
holiday
because you're just sitting around playing with toys. I'll be building toys for kids all day. That's basically what I'll be doing.
Yeah, I'm glad I won't be doing that.
Yeah, so that'll keep me busy that day. So looking forward to Santa showing up here in just a week. So again, we will be off the show, but we'll be back after that. It is week 17 next week, but. We're going to run the show through the playoffs.
Of course.
We're going to do it all
through
the playoffs.
There's still money to be made.
A lot of games to play. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. We can't wait to be with you. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. That's it from us. For Al Zeidenfeld, who's not here today, Daniel Topp, feel better, guys. We appreciate you. For Kyle Soppy, Jackson Jello is behind the screen here. Appreciate everybody, and we will see you next time.